Welcome to this week's Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Gianluca De Emma. Now, that's a lovely Italian name.
Thank you very much.
Whereabouts in Italy are you from?
So, I'm from Lazio region, and specifically from Sezze Romano, a town more or less an hour south of Rome.
Okay.
Close to the coast.
Is it famous for something?
We actually are famous for two things. One is for the artichoke fair.
Ah, okay.
Super good. And the second one is for this, it's called Processione of the Venerdì Santo. So basically it's for this representation of Christ on the Friday before Easter.
Ah, okay.
So it's made like a, basically a working theater around the, starting from the cathedral and all down around the old town.
Because I found it surprising, in Italy, Good Friday isn't generally a holiday.
No, actually, if you're lucky, they give you the afternoon off.
Ah.
Otherwise, it's a full working day.
But then you have Monday off, have Pasquetta.
You have Monday, and you used to have Tuesday.
Ah.
Because they knew the Monday people used to go kind of party. So Tuesday was a good day to be off.
So the Friday is a solemn procession, and then by Monday you're partying.
Yes.
Celebrating.
Friday is about the feast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the dinner time, and there are a lot of restriction about foods, but nowadays no one respects those.
You don't do the fish on Friday, that kind of thing?
You will definitely not eat meat on Friday.
Oh, okay. Ah.
But no one's, most of the time people that are out of watching this representation of Christ, and they see things to eat is a nice panino with salsiccia or whatever it is. Definitely not fish.
So is there a particular regional food as well from your area? Is there something that we should ask for if we arrive there?
In my town specifically, we are kind of famous for a pasta made with beans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a poor dish made with the leftover bread.
Mm-hmm.
So after 3 days, it gets quite hard. So you make this thing called pasta di fagioli. So it's not with pasta, but it's actually with bread and beans and a tomato kind of sauce base. And it can be done in a big pot or like in the oven.
And is it yummy?
It's the old generation definitely loved it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's not a great dish. It's definitely tasty. But it's it doesn't look nice.
So no one's reinvented it and made it one of those modern classics that.
If you go in some restaurant in the area as to keep the tradition, they might make it in a small contained pot to look pretty. But overall, it's all bread and beans.
So sort of a posh beans on toast dish.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll go with that.
With leftover bread.
With leftover. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. We'll try and imagine that one. So not that's the main dish.
It's actually one of my favorite. My father's favorite dish. So every time my mom is away, for example, my father, of course, doesn't cook as a most Italian man. He goes to my aunt's, and my aunt's prepare for him.
They spoil him.
Yes.
That family thing goes on. Yeah. Okay. Family's quite close still in Italy. It's still a thing.
It's definitely a thing in my area. It's definitely a thing south of Italy. It's a tiny bit less in the north.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think the city life takes people apart. But yes, in my area, family, it's most basically everything.
So what happens when there is a new child, a new entrance to the family? How big a celebration does that become?
It's quite big, especially the nowadays. In Italy, recently, we adopted the gender revealing things.
Oh, wow, okay.
Something that we never had before. But of course, with the TikTok, Instagram and all this internet arrived here as well. And but most of the time, there is a kind of a tradition that the mother always wait the third month to share the information around, and always go like in an order, the mother of the mother to be, and her family, and then slowly the voice, the information, the news spreads around, and there will be now this new gender reveal thing. And that's it. And then start planning from the baptism, basically.
So their baptism, is that when they're about under a year? Or how
so
does that
basically
work?
Usually is within the 3 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so very early.
They're very early. Now they're learning to postpone a bit, but it's definitely not more than 5 or 6 months.
Okay. So by the time they sort of are a bit more able to behave.
Yeah, most of the time they go to the church, the newborn is always crying because it is there, and then you get this water on his head, and therefore he starts crying. And it's actually quite cute. Everybody start laughing at church. And
But this, so the whole family go, you all get dressed up, it's a big thing.
It used to be a very big thing. Now they understood that it's, you know, when you get a new baby, there's a lot of expense coming up. Mm-hmm. So they try to keep a bit smaller as an event. So it's definitely the close family. So, I mean, the brothers, sisters, and the first cousin.
That's already quite big now.
Yes. No, it's going to be at least 30, 40 people. But before, it used to be almost like a wedding, like a way to get in touch with the family that you don't get to see often.
So, because lots of Italians work in the cities up north or wherever as well, does that happen from your village? People have to still come down for these kinds of celebrations?
They tend to do, because it's more likely the family stays there. Mm. I don't see the family traveling to see them there, yes.
Okay, so you would come back. So say you were working in Milan, but you would come down to do these celebrations.
Yes, for sure, 100%. You do that. You do for the first communion, mm-hmm. for a wedding eventually, okay. for everything. Yes.
And so getting to that stage, so do, because, you know, everyone knows about you Italian men and how romantic you all are, you know.
Yes, we are.
No, but do you have engagement parties, and is that another big thing, or is that depends on you and your crowd?
Not really. There isn't actually an engagement party. After you decide to get married, there will be almost by the time of the wedding, a small dinner after the day you register your wedding to the council. So you actually get married before in the council of the town hall, and then with your close family and the witnesses, you go to try the menu of the wedding date.
Ah.
Or the wedding celebration, basically. Yes. And that's the day where everybody confirm the menu of the day of the wedding.
But you're sort of married by then, and then you go off and have your party.
There isn't a proper party for the engagement.
Okay.
There will be a party, literally the week before the wedding. There will be like al dia al celibato, there is the stag party.
Okay.
And then al dia nubilato, there's a hen party. And those two, they're going to be separate, and they usually happen the week before the
safest
wedding. Yes.
Yeah. Have they taken on the sort of British and American type where you go away and you behave badly and you...
No, usually it's very more wild for men.
Okay.
And more soft for women. So men, they tend to do the classic things, go to a restaurant, get drunk, and mm-hmm. then go clubbing.
Mm-hmm.
And women, they're adjusting, as of course they should, to the men habits. But before, when I was younger, for example, it was more about having a good meal at somewhere else, and have a good time to catch up with the
I think
friends.
I'd opt for a spa day and shopping somewhere, you know. But there we go. So then wedding happens.
Yes.
The sort of the main attraction sort of thing. How big would that be?
So the wedding in Italy, it's especially in central Italy, south of Italy, it's a way to, you don't invite just people that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You also, this is this commitment
mm-hmm.
that you must invite people that actually invited you at the wedding. And most of the time, having a good excuse is a luxury, because you find yourself to a wedding there of someone that you don't spend a lot of time together, but because 10 years ago you got married, you had good friends, now they have the obligation to invite you back. And the wedding take a very big part of the day,
mm-hmm.
because it's most of the time in a church, and it's very okay for the bride to be late,
mm-hmm.
and therefore all the day the time starts to accumulate. Then they run away to take a picture after the church, and you are supposed to go to the restaurant and eating nibble while you wait for them. And of course, taking picture takes time. Basically, the time you eat the first dish at the table is probably 4 o'clock.
Ah.
And the wedding was 11 in the morning.
Right. Yeah, you Italians, I have to say, in your general timekeeping, and not necessarily timekeeping. It's so, say when you invite somebody for dinner.
Yes.
Right. So thank you very much for that invitation, Gianluca. You told me 8 o'clock. What time do you really mean?
So definitely not a single minute before eight. That is a really bad thing to do. You will find the people even the underwear probably. 15 minutes up to 20 minutes is still normal.
Okay.
A bit later it starts to be rude.
Okay.
Especially nowadays. But definitely not before, and everything from 8 until 8:20 is completely normal.
Normal. Okay, so it's the 20-minute thing. Yes. So it's sort of, instead of getting there on time, leave home, and then you'd arrive in time. Okay.
If you meet somewhere else, then those 20 minutes can become 40 and still be okay, as long as they think that you're not on your own waiting.
Ah.
So if it's a group of friends meeting, meeting at 8, there would be people coming at night. At 9 o'clock, sorry, and not even feeling the reason, the necessity to give you an explanation for the delay. Just normal.
I have two very quick stories. One is that we were invited to an event, and I thought this event, it started at 8, so we got there at 8 and we helped put the tablecloths on. That was very, very recently. But another one, we all went to another event, which was an educational wine tasting, frankly, and it was supposed to start at 6 and it started at 6:45 and people were still turning up at 7:15. And, you know, this was it was supposed to be a 2-hour event. So to start 45 minutes late was like, okay, guys, like...
But the problem is so radicated in our culture that even if you are in a formal event, they know that no one is going to show up in time. We were at a party recently, and I'm not going to say, of course, the name of the person, but the invite said 7. It was a small dinner, so it wasn't like a big party. I know the guy, of course, and I asked him, it's like 7 or Italian 7? And I say, it's Italian 7. So I say, shall I come at 7:30? I say, 7:30 sounds right. We got there 7:35, and not even the birthday boy was there. Yeah, right, 8 o'clock. So, I completely okay with that.
Because this is, I found as well in the summer in Italy, there'll be an event advertised and literally all the expats arrive first, and then the Italians apparently don't come until the sun has gone down.
Yes, probably it did come when it's probably an hour late. So if we happen the sun to be late, they go down, it's fine. But they know that it could be quite boring arrive on time because they...
It's only the expats that are going to be there.
No, of course not. Because they know that no one's going to be there. And probably they're going to be waiting even for the people organizing the event to still finish to...
To lay the tables.
It's I prefer, let's say, the British way. I prefer be on time because at least I can plan everything. But it's in our culture.
So when somebody... So you're inviting someone to your house for dinner... they're expected to be at this point in time 20 minutes late per se. Then what happens? Would you tell other people who's coming? Because in Malta, for example, we'll invite people for dinner and not tell you who else is at table. So there could be some really interesting, you know, tensions going on that you don't know about. Do you say, oh yeah, come for dinner, there's so and so and so and so, or do you?
No, we usually share the information who else is at the table, and also Italian, they would not, they will ask it. Mm. It's not like the Italians are quite direct, so they will be asking who else is there. So you can lie to them eventually. You cannot say it's a surprise. You could, but no, they weren't always there. They're not going to change their plan. It's not like they're going to say, oh, because it's this person, but it's kind of a...
Nice to know.
Normal to know who's
coming. I think it's nice to know. I think you can, you know, if you don't know the person, then you know, let me find out a bit more
about
this
person. It's probably more a matter of curiosity rather than... Yeah. Knowing who else is there.
And so you would cook at home and you would take the whole evening sort of thing for us.
Yes, the cooking preparation, of course, will take the whole day. And most of the time, even the day before, because you want to make sure you get all the fresh ingredients. And it's very common in Italy having people over. It's a way to not showing off, but to be thankful for your friendship. And then you want to cook because the cooking is coming from your... the heart, basically.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be a bit messy, just you know.
But should I dress up if I come to your house for dinner? Because you know this thing about Italian women and how they dress, and the Italians in general, not just Italian women, is it you dress up?
I mean, if you're going for a small event, a small dinner, you don't have to, basically. And also depends the type of your friendship. But usually, Italian women, and also men, I would say, they like to take opportunity to get some nice gears on. So I think it's not say to go with smoking for a man, but definitely if you have your tie and your jackets, you're always on the right spot.
You'll
And
find
for
that.
women as well, there is a you can enjoy some extra dress on. That's fine, no problem.
Fantastic. And is there anything that one shouldn't do? So I've heard that you should take 2 bottles of wine.
Usually, if you are a couple, you take 2 bottles of wine, and the owner will let you understand if it's a fish meat meal. So you know more or less to go with the red, with the white. So you always go with the prosecco and something bubbling, and but not to expect them opening the bottle, because most of the time, and this is, I don't approve, but they take the bottle, they say okay, thank you, and then they put in a. In the little
The cupboard there
cup
somewhere.
there.
Because I think wine shops are missing a trick here. I think that they should know that, okay, Gianluca's favorite wine is this Vermentino, whatever. So everybody buys the same Vermentino and we take it to your house altogether. Bit like a wedding list, you know. I really think wine shops are missing a trick on this because you do end up with lots of different types of bottles. And, you know, the English, we're generally quite happy to drink anything that's put in front of us. But if you're doing something that you want to pair, it would be, I think, nicer that. You know, you would know that this is your favorite wine, or you're preparing this, and therefore, if all 6 people bring the
The
same
same, it
sort
would
of
be,
wine, you
yes,
know, it'd be.
true. The only problem here is that luckily for us, we can get a very good bottle of wine, even a supermarket. So you don't need to always go to a wine
Merchant,
shop.
okay.
And that is a saver most of the time, because not every town has got a very good wine
Wine merchant.
shop. Yeah.
But what every town does have is cake shops.
Yes, more than one for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. People
Yes.
bring a lot of dessert.
Yes. If you don't know what to bring, a cake is always welcome. Most of the time, if it's a dinner with friends, they will tell you in a nice way, oh, I made this, but I didn't have time for dessert. So it basically is a hint to say, it's
Please
your
bring,
job.
yeah.
And yes, you can bring it from the whole cake, or you can just go and get the, I don't know, like a cannoli or croissant or the fruit tarts with the whatever.
I
As
love
long as you know
those.
there are at least two for every guest.
Two for every guest.
Yes.
Mamma mia.
More than a yes.
And what would be considered rude then? Turning up obviously empty-handed is one
Empty-handed
thing.
for sure. Late, super late. And usually there are some unwritten rules about the topic to keep at the table. Like we avoid talking about politics and religion, because they are a topic where even if you are close friends to someone, you can have a different view on those topics. So we always avoid to end up in that conversation. For some men, it's football, so they always get a bit grumpy and angry, sharing stories about the football team. So those three conversations, sometimes if you have a nice dinner, you know, it's better to avoid this
To
conversation.
avoid those things.
Yes.
There's actually a bar near us which has a notice telling you no religion, no football.
Yes, no. It's written
So no
in a
politics.
Galateo. So it's to avoid, in a Galateo, we don't talk about football, we talk about religion and politics.
So football, let's do a little bit about that. So
Yes.
Lazio, big team in its
So
own.
in our region, the local team are Lazio and Rome. And Rome is actually the one from the people from the central Rome. And Lazio, most of the time, are the people from the whole region or the outskirts of Rome. This is why the people who support Rome refer to Laziali, so Lazio supporter, as Burini, because Burini were the people in the countryside, so with less education and less manners. And there is a, you know, I don't know in UK, I don't know in other country, but it's a, they go around and they buy stuff from someone else's house. It's super, it's too much. And when there's a derby, so the match where they play against each other, the town is for 3 days is all about football. There is no other topic in town.
Ah, do you have other festivities? So obviously there's you were saying about Good Friday.
Yes.
There's obviously the general religious festivals. Is there anything else that happens in your region that we should go for? We should.
So in each town in Italy, basically, there is the Santo Patrono. So mm-hmm. every town has got its own saint. And it's always be on the day of the saint celebration a festivity. In some town in the south, it's way bigger. In other town, it's some fireworks, some procession, I don't know how you say, but some, you know, church
yeah,
people
procession.
Walking
uh-huh,
around
yes,
there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And in other town, like Milan, there is or in Venice, there are like almost 3 day celebration. And in Rome, for example, San Pietro e Paolo is the 29th of June. It's an extra bank holiday.
Ah.
Yes. So when it happened on Thursday, they get what we call Ponte. Hmm. So they get the Friday off. So basically for
Move.
2 cents, they got 4 days off for nothing. In the peak of the summer.
Well, the things I do like is you can kind of tell, well, I can't tell, but I know people who can tell where somebody's from based on their first name, because you're
yes
named after a saint or something.
Name and a surname, of course, mm. but for the first name, because they, especially 50, 60 years ago, they always want to thank the saint.
Uh-huh.
So no one from Milan will be named like a Vito or, I don't know, or Carmelo, for sure, because those are names literally from Calabria,
uh-huh.
Puglia,
yeah.
Campania, and his other name in the north of Italy would be Ambrogio, mm. like the saint of Milan. So it's very, it can be unusual that you have an Ambrogio in Sicily.
But it does get confusing, because then if there are a number of people with the same name, it's then how do you differentiate?
Oh yeah, like in a town nearby here, there's like a name, a surname, and there will be at least 20 people in a small town with the same name.
But to be careful what story you're telling
yes.
about which one.
Exactly. Yeah. my mom, for example, she's got a very common name, because the surname in Italy got a very funny origin. The people with the surname with the colors
mm-hmm.
are people that some stage on the ancestors to wear in an orphanatory.
Ah.
So they give colors as a way to
identify
them. Uh-huh. So, and then you have a lot of rossi,
uh-huh.
verdi, bianchi,
wow.
because they're coming from, at least one of them.
Was an orphan one,
yeah.
Wow.
And therefore, then, you know, you get thousands of them.
Ah. That's really interesting.
Yes, it is.
There you go. So that leads us on nicely, for want of a better word. So orphans generally, because they've lost their parents.
Yes.
When you do lose somebody in Italy, how does that, because like you see the posters up in the towns.
Yes, so the family, the closest family, they do these things called epigraphy.
Mm-hmm.
So they advertising, unfortunately, the death of the person. And the funeral, usually within 3 days,
mm.
unless something, you know, it's not clear about the way died, but usually 3 days after, and it will be advertised on the same epigraphy with the name of the church
mm-hmm.
and the town. Most of the people will go from the town because it is a way to bring respect
right.
to the rest of the family. And the closest people, they will go after to the house of the person who passed away, and there will be a small, small meal,
mm-hmm.
but there will be some food. And usually that situation, it becomes quite light. I mean, people will be start talking, remember story. There will be actually some laugh, and it's a good way for the people there to actually remember the person with all the good deeds, good deeds
they did, all the funny
yes.
stories and
yes.
stuff like that.
So it's not, it's always scary to go,
uh-huh.
but it always turned to be actually a nice
send
time,
off
yes.
And then is it cremation in Italy, or do you bury, or is there a choice you have?
Cremation is becoming more popular
mm-hmm.
in a way, but you always bury, and usually the family
mm-hmm.
has its own spot.
Right.
And the richest family, they have a little mausoleum at the chapel.
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
And to get there, you know, back then you had to bribe someone. And that is awful, but is it the way it is? There would be when the person die, the company who organize the funeral will take the person to a place called Camera Ardente, where the people can go and see the open
Casket,
caskets.
okay,
Yeah, as long as the way the person died wasn't violent or something else, and it will have a kind of a veil, something that you can see through, of course. And people stay there and they pray and they are there for a few hours. And after that, the car will take the body to the church, and there will be all the cars of the people attending the mass, the funeral, behind them. And they will go very slow, and there will be no music in the car, no one's gonna use the horn or whatever.
And then so then there's the burial
The
or
burial, yes, the procedure, and the priest will be, of course, there, and the closest family, they will go every month or even every 2 weeks to bring fresh flowers
ah.
and spend time there. It's very common that you go and you will see people
I have to
at the
say, because they
cemetery.
normally you normally have the cemeteries outside of town. I'm guessing from historical reasons. And you, when you're driving past, you see all the florists and you see people going
Yes,
in.
there is always
And
the nicest shop of florist literally at the
there,
entrance of the
well,
cemetery.
that I have to say, your cemeteries are quite beautiful.
Yes, they are aesthetically pleasing. They're so rich in flowers and this mausoleum, they look like a little houses.
They're
They're
stunning,
beautiful.
yeah. So
Yes,
it's,
marbles everywhere,
yeah.
sculpture of course of angels, and no, they're very beautiful.
Very beautiful. So we'll end on that note. But I do want to, just one last question, and it
Of
is a bit
course.
tongue in cheek. But these printers that manage to print these posters so quickly, is there one of them close by? Because I need some stuff printed, and
I don't
I
know.
just.
Actually, down here is a bit different because in my area, the person who print those epigraphy, they go around and they put it around the town, the city, to make sure that everybody gets the sad
A
news.
notice at her.
In the south of Italy, especially in this area, they are all attached around the house of the person, and they all come with the from the brother, from the sister, from a good friends. Like
Okay, so
in
each one is
my
individual
yes,
then. I
from my
see.
area, the family announce that. Here you walk around the town and then you see a house with all the epigraphy around there, because there where it was the person who passed away used to live.
Well, it's a bit heartbreaking because when you see them, you sort of, yeah, it's a bit, it's very sad because you feel like
Yes.
you know a bit about them then, rather than when you just see a cortege, you don't
True. But going back
know.
to your question, you need to find a tipografia. So it's
Okay.
where do you get all these things done?
It just seemed to happen so rapidly. I just like need to know. But thank you so much for
You're
letting us know
welcome.
about the
Thank you,
etiquette and
Monica.
traditions. Gianluca De M from Italy.
Thank you very much.